You know, God is doing incredible things around the earth today. I don't know if you catch up with some of the things that he is doing. You can get that on the internet, all kinds of places where you can get information. But it's reckoned that in China, there are more Christians than there are in the Communist Party. Now, I don't know if that's true, but what I read this week tends to tell me that there is such an escalation of people becoming Christians in communist China that the authorities now cannot do anything about it. Even the government church, the three self church, which is a government operated church. And the reason the Communist Party started this church was to try and keep control of Christians. And of course, we all know the real Christians were meeting underground in homes and secretly. But what's happened is the move of God has caught up in China now that even in the government-type church that is governed by the Communist Party, even in there, they can't control it any longer. And there are so many Christians being saved in the church, underground and overground and so on, that there's just a move of God that is unstoppable. Isn't that incredible? There's a lot of persecution in China. They've been persecuted for years. People have been martyred for their faith. Tremendous men and women of God that have done awesome works that we'll only meet them when we go to heaven. But right now, there's an incredible work in China. Isn't that awesome? They reckon that one of the fastest growing places where people are being saved right now is in Iran. That's also quite awesome as well. That's kind of where it's an Islamic, as you know, nation, very strong. But the reason people are becoming Christians in Iran is because what they're finding is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so real to them. They've been brought up on this terrible system that has dominated them and brought them no life at all. But when they meet these Christians are carrying something that they haven't got. And they recognize it's certainly not amongst the Muslim community, but they're finding this directly from God themselves. And so they also reckon that in Iran is one of the fastest growing churches in the world too right now. It's all underground, that you're not allowed to meet publicly in that sense. And there's a lot of persecution going, which is why when we pray a lot for the persecuted church. The Bible says, remember those who are being persecuted as though you were with them. But right now there's incredible work going on in Iran. In Pakistan, there's a move of God there too. And I don't know if you picked up some of the things that are happening in Pakistan, but there are thousands upon thousands of Muslims who are being saved right now in Pakistan. There's crusades, there's various ministries that happen in Pakistan. But I've just recently heard about thousands of Muslims giving their life to Christ. And it's causing a real... Yeah, let's give God praise for it. It's causing a... It's mighty. It's incredible what God is doing. And my cry to God is, God, do it here too. Do it in Europe, Lord. We have it so easy in comparison, yet God is moving all these other nations. And the time has come really for God to come and do a fresh and new work in Europe and in the United Kingdom. Do you believe that? I believe, I'm not going to get too political this morning, okay? You must vote how you believe is right to vote. But I believe that the United Kingdom has been set apart by God. And you only have to look at its history to see how God has used the Christians and the church and the gospel and how that this nation has been used. And some people have prophesied doom and judgment and that over the nation that this nation is finished with. But actually, God hasn't said that. In fact, God has said quite the opposite. He said, if you'll repent and come back to me and turn back to me, I'm going to restore this nation in a different way, in a new way. And that this nation will become a gospel nation all over again. It'll be different how it happens, but the power and the anointing of God is going to be poured out into our nation. And this nation, in a sense, now listen to me, this nation, in a sense, needs to be separate from Europe. In a sense, it needs to be separate from Europe. And whatever your political persuasion, some Christians will believe we need to stay in, and others will I'm not going to let you know what I believe, but in a sense, we need to stay separate so that God can do the things he needs to do through this nation, which will actually impact and affect Europe as well. But God knows what he's doing. So we really need to pray, keep pressing into God, like Rohan was saying, and worship. But it's not just about Sunday mornings. This is about how we live. This is about our lifestyle. This is about how we're living for God, how we're living for Jesus. I remember I gave my life to Jesus when I was a young lad, a boy about 10 and a half years of age. I remember thinking, If I don't give my life to Jesus, my life will be a complete waste of time. My parents hadn't told me that, not in those words, but I just knew I had to give my life to Jesus. I remember praying a very simple prayer. I said, Jesus, I know you're there, and I know you're living in my mum and dad, but I know you're not living in me. And so on this day, I can remember, it's just like today, sunshine, it was springtime. I remember praying, I said, Jesus, please forgive me for the things I've done wrong. And as I began to pray, I started to cry. And the reason I was crying was because I realized for the first time in my life, I realized that Jesus Christ, the Lord, who came to this earth as a man, died on a cross 2,000 years ago and died for me. Personally, it became very, very real. He died for me. And therefore, because he died for me, I could receive forgiveness for me too from him. And I remember those tears became tears of joy. I just, you know, I was aware adults were around me. Do you remember when you were 10 and a half, Katie? No, it's too far back. But if you remember when you were very, very small and being quite conscious about adults, but I couldn't stop these tears, and these tears became tears of joy. And I remember it was like I was handing my life over. It was like this. This was my little life, and I was giving my little life and putting it into God's hands. And I knew that from this day forward, back in whenever it was, that my life would never be mine again. It would belong to someone far greater. And that, to be honest, that's been my experience over all these, well, it's just a few years really, now in my late 30s. It's just been great just experiencing the love of Jesus and the things that he's done in my own life as I've given myself to him. How many of you here today want to be more like Jesus? I know I do. Every day I say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And if any of you here don't know him, you can know him. He's here in this place. He's here, right here this morning. And he wants to make himself real to, maybe it's for some of you, just be real afresh to you, maybe for the first time. But you can come to know him even today. You can give your life and come to know him personally. Come with me in the Bible. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 5. And I'm going to read you a story. We're reading the Gospel of John. I hope you're all up with it. We're reading a chapter a day, so today's the 8th, so that means you should have been reading Gospel of John chapter 8. That's what we're doing, we're reading a chapter a day. And the whole reason for doing it is to help us all to get into the habit of reading the Bible and developing our relationship with God by reading the Bible and praying over what we read. And we have this saying, we want to go deeper in God, in our prayer life, in praying to him and knowing him, in reading the Bible, so that we can go further in God, do far greater things. So that's what we're doing. And in John's Gospel 5, which we had actually we read it on the 5th, if we're running synchronously to the schedule. But let's just read this story. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, so it may be a little bit different, but let's just read this story. Later on, there was a Jewish feast for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. This is at verse 1. And then verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem a pool near the sheep gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches. And Claire and I, we actually went there with a team of us from Kingdom Faith some years ago when we went to Israel. So I remember going to this pool of Bethesda. So it's got five openings to this pool where you can go down into some steps into these waters. And in these lay a great number of sick people. Some were blind, some crippled, some paralyzed, waiting for the bubbling up of the water. That's what actually happened. There was a bubbling up of the water. They reckoned that an angel came and stirred the waters. It was probably a little bit like going to Lourdes. But something, every now and again, something would happen. And God would actually work miracles in people. For an angel of the Lord went down at appointed seasons into the pool and moved and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was cured of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. So the first one in got healed. Shame about the others, because there was loads of them there. They all went there in the hope that they'd be the first in. But probably the worse your sickness, the harder it would be for you to get into the water. So it was quite a tough deal. And verse 5, there was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. 38 years. It's nearly as old as I am. 38 years. It's a long time. When Jesus noticed him lying there, helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well?" And the invalid answered, "Sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me into the pool. But while I'm trying to come into it myself, somebody else steps down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, get up. I love the way Jesus is so simple and so direct. Get up, pick up your bed and walk. Wow. That sorted it out, didn't it? Instantly, the man became well and recovered his strength and picked up his bed and walked. And this happened on the Sabbath, which was the Jewish, like our Sunday, it was a Saturday, it was the Sabbath, it was a holy day. So the Jews kept saying to the man who'd been healed, it is the Sabbath, you have no right to pick up your bed, it's not lawful, you're not allowed to do it. Imagine saying that to this guy who's just been sick for 38 years. He answered them, the man who healed me and gave me back my strength, he said to me, pick up your bed and walk. So I did. They asked him, who is this man who told you, pick up your bed and walk? Now the invalid who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had quietly gone away. Very wise. He passed unnoticed, since there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, when Jesus found him in the temple, he said to him, see, you are well. And this is what he said to him. This is for this man. He said, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. That's amazing, isn't it? So Jesus healed him and quietly had a word with him. He didn't embarrass him before anybody else, quietly had a word with him, because he knew that the reason that this man was sick, it's not saying everyone that's sick is sinned, but this man was sick because of a sinful lifestyle. And so he said, sin no more, stop sinning, or something worse will happen to you. So it was a warning, but Jesus loved him. That's why he told him. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. What an amazing story. And the reason we're reading this story is God wants you to be well. That's the first thing I want to say this morning. God wants you to be well. Physically, in your body, mentally, in your thinking, emotionally, in your soul. He wants you to be well. Free. And that's another good word to say. He wants you to be free. And spirit. He wants you to be free in your spirit. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And if you have any sickness at all in your body, we're going to have a time at the end to pray for any who are sick this morning and heal them in the name of Jesus. It was great privilege this morning to pray for the caretaker here. Jeff beat me to the post. I understand he got up there first and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And then I followed a little bit later and added to the prayer. That's awesome, isn't it? Yes. Our caretaker's been healed this morning by the power of Jesus. Amen. You should be really happy about that. And now, what God's going to teach us this morning is that we're the church, and the Bible says that we're sons, and we're sons who are sent. God has children, and he calls them sons of God. You know, your sons and daughters. But the Bible actually says that we're all sons of God. If we're born again, we're all his children, sons of God. And we're the church, and we're sons who have been sent, and we've been sent to do his work. Let's just read at verse 17. If you look at verse 17, just further up on the chapter, we read this story to remind us of some very important things that you and I, God wants to activate us this morning, so that hopefully today and going into this week, we're going to be actively putting this word into action this week. So it says in verse 17, Jesus answered them, he says, my Father has worked even until now. He has never stopped working. He is still working, and I too must be at divine work. Let me just say this, that God, the Father, is working all the time. The Spirit of God is working all the time. Do you agree? He's working. We just spoke about it. He's working all around the world today. He's working in nations. He's doing incredible things. Many, many people are becoming Christians, are experiencing the power of Jesus. Jesus is appearing. We're hearing of Jesus appearing to many Muslims. Where they're not allowed to hear about the gospel. He's coming directly to them and appearing before them. Many thousands of them are being saved around the world, including in our own nation. This is what God is doing. God is working. And Jesus said, he said, because the Father is working, I too must be at divine work. Just say divine work. So God has called you and me to be at divine work. There's a divine work that we're to be walking in. So this means this is God's work we're talking about this morning. This isn't talking about just our own things that we do. It's talking about everything that we do needs to come under God's hand, God's power, God's authority. And everything that we do needs to have his hand upon it so that we're actually doing God's work in the workplace, in the office, when we fill up the car with fuel, when we go shopping, when we help our neighbour next door, when we minister or help our families, whatever we're doing, it comes under the category God's work. And God says that he's working all the time. So I don't know about you, but part of my prayer is, God, teach me how to walk closer to you so I'm doing your work, not my own. Teach me how to step into your work, doing your work, working with you. And all of us in this building today, we've all been called to do a work for God. It's a divine work. And God is working. So you imagine his hand is outstretched. But what we have to do, we have to come under his hand to do his work. Does that make sense? God is at work and he has a specific work for each one of you to do. Every single one of us. I'm looking at young Ben here, John and Rachel's son. Even young men like Ben have been called to do their divine work. Amen? Divine work. God's at work around his life, but God has called Ben to do a divine work. God has called him to, if you like, connect with what God is doing and do his work. Does that make sense? And so I want to talk about this morning, because when Jesus healed this invalid, this cripple at the pool of Bethesda, basically God was at work. And Jesus taught us, has given us this story to help us to understand we need to step into doing God's work with him. Does that make sense? So God is at work and we need to work with him in everything that we do. Some of those things may seem very small and very almost insignificant, but they're very important things. How we are with our neighbours, our friends, how we conduct our lives, how we are with one another. All of these things are important because they come under the hand of God and become part of his divine work. This is making sense. So when Jesus turns up at the pool of Bethesda and sees this man and says, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "But there's no one to put me in the water." Jesus is connecting, while he's having this conversation with this man, he's connecting with the Father in heaven. And the Father's saying to him, just tell him to get up and pick up his bed and walk. So Jesus entered into the work of God. Is this making sense? Jesus enters into the work of God. He's listening, he's seeing with his spiritual eyes now what the Father, what God wants to do in this man's life. And essentially, that's what God is asking all of us to do. Believe in him, receive him into your life if you haven't done so yet, and then his spirit, the spirit of Jesus, comes to live inside of us. And then what happens is God is teaching us out of our relationship with him how to enter into his divine work that he has for every single one of us. There's not one person in this room that hasn't been called to work for God. It's just that maybe you don't know it, maybe you haven't realized it, but there's a divine work that he wants you to do every day. It's not just on high days and holidays. It's every day God has a divine work for you to do. That's why sometimes I say, "Sorry, Lord, I must have missed it today." Or I say, "Sorry, Lord, I definitely missed it today because I missed that opportunity that you gave me and I didn't make the most of it." So, but most times my heart, my spirit is pressing into God because, "God, I want to do your will. I want to please you. I want to enter into doing your work." And this is what Jesus did with the man at Bethesda. And so he saw God healing this man, not by helping him into the water, but by telling him to get up and picking up his mattress or whatever it was, his Lilo, whatever he was carrying that day, and walking. And the man obeyed the word. He had faith. He obeyed the word, stood up, and strength came into his, and he got an instant healing. Why? Because Jesus healed the man out of the work of God. Does this make sense? We need to understand that Jesus actually said that he could do nothing without the power of God working in him. Working with God. And the same is true for us. Yes. We're on the same level. Yes. Don't think, "Well, Jesus was the Son of God, therefore of course he could do it. He could do it on autopilot." But the Bible says that Jesus emptied himself of all of his divine power and presence. He had to wait for the Holy Spirit to fill him on this earth, and then he had to depend upon the Holy Spirit and the Father in heaven to see what it was that God wanted him to do day by day. That's how Jesus lived. I'll just tell you a story that happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. I went up to see Lee at his workshop just a couple of weeks ago. It was Thursday, and I blessed him with a lunch. So I'd already had something to eat. So we ate together, talked together, had quite a limited time, and I saw this man walk into this cafe, and he was obviously in a lot of pain. And he turned across and looked. I didn't know him, but he said to me, "Oh," he said, "I'm in such pain today." And didn't he? Do you remember? He hobbled in. He was actually in pain as he walked through the cafe and sat down the far end. And immediately, while we're talking, I'm saying, "Father, what do you want to do with this man? I'm having two conversations. I'm talking to Lee. I'm listening to what God's saying in our conversations. And I'm also saying, God, what do you want to do with this man who's behind me? And he said, just heal him. Yeah, but I don't know him. Yeah, just heal him. Yeah, but I'm not quite. Yes, you do. You've done it before. And so we had our conversation. We talked together, had a good time together. And just before we went, as we left the cashier, we turned. And I was about, I'll be honest with you, I was about to walk out. But the Holy Spirit was strong on me. And God said to me, you're to do my work. Part of your work was to see Lee today. But the second part was to heal this man. And I went up to the man. I thought, blow, he's going to go for it. And I asked him about his pain. And he told me all about his pain and what it was. And it was quite serious. And I said, would you just let me pray for you? And he said, to my great surprise, he said, yes. He didn't say, get lost or go away. He could have done. He looked like one of those blokes who would have done that. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed. I command your back to be healed. And you know what God said to me? He said, keep your hand on his shoulder. Oh, dear. No, because we like to go, quick prayer, in Jesus' name, be healed and walk. But he said, keep your hand on his shoulder. So I did. I don't know how long it was. It wasn't hours, but it was probably a couple of minutes, wasn't it? Yeah. And while I'm there, I feel the power of God come. And he says to me, I feel all this heat going down my back from my neck. So that's God, that's Jesus. He's healing you. He's healing you right now. He said, oh, like this. I said, yeah, he'll heal you completely. Maybe for a couple of minutes. And then God said, just take your hand off. And I said, he'll heal you completely. I'll see you again sometime. And off we went. We walked out, left it. Didn't tell him to, you had to become a Christian there and then. There'll be another opportunity for that where he'll get saved. But we had the opportunity to go there. It was a moment where I worked. I did the work of God in this particular situation. It was joining to the Father, what the Father had already decided, that on this particular day, at whenever it was 1:05 or whenever it was when we were about to walk out of a cafe somewhere in Faygate, that this man would receive the healing power of Jesus. And it would be the start of his journey of getting, of him becoming a Christian, getting saved. So are you ready to do the work of God? God's divine work will come in all shapes and sizes for us. But what God's looking for is obedient faith. That's it. Obedient faith. A word here, a smile there, a hand there to heal somebody. Preaching the gospel to somebody over here. Reaching out to a Muslim man over there. Whatever it is, God wants us to be about his work. That's the message this morning. And we are sons who have been sent by God to reveal who Jesus is. That's basically what we're here for, isn't it? That's what the church is all about. We're sent in his love to heal the sick, to preach the gospel, to help people, to make them whole. So let's read verse 19, shall we? Let's just go to verse 19. I'll read this again out of the Amplified Bible. It says, so Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself. So Jesus, the Son of God, who was completely holy, never done any sin, he himself said, I can do nothing of myself. He said, I can't do anything, so I'm not going to do it. So Jesus himself was dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God who was in him connects us with the Father in heaven, doesn't he? And so Jesus was saying, I can do nothing of myself, of my own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees. Just say sees. Sees. He only is able to do what he sees the Father doing. So we need to see, not with our natural eye, but we need to see with faith, we need to see with our spiritual eye, what it is that God wants to do in a person's life, in our nation, in our village or where we live, with our neighbours, our family. We need to see what God wants to do. And God will show us what he sees, because God sees ahead of time. And if once we see what God has shown us, we can then activate our faith and say, okay, God, use me then however you want to use me to see this come about. Does it make sense? So here's another example. Gabriella rings me a week or so ago. She has these couple of ladies that she knows, this mother and daughter, who are new Christians. They haven't been able to really find their right church home yet in Switzerland. We're going to help them do that. But they haven't quite found that. But she must be baptized. And she's coming over for 5 days and wants to be baptized. And so we prayed. We agreed that we would find somewhere in those 5 days where we would be able to baptize this mother and daughter, Sandra and Stella, when they came over. And you heard the story this morning, what happened. It happened because actually there was a sing, this will happen. It will happen. We'll find somewhere. I didn't know where. And I wasn't about to set up our tank. It takes half a day to set up a tank. So we thought, well, we'll go for a swimming pool somewhere. And when we turned up at this house, we'd never met this family before. They just moved in literally 5 weeks ago. And their testimony was, we said to the Lord, we want you to use our big house and our grounds and our swimming pool. And we want the swimming pool to be used for baptisms. That's what they said. So it was their first baptism in their pool on Friday afternoon when we baptised Sandra and Stella. Awesome. What we do, we are entering to God's divine work. Does that make sense? God has a divine work that he's doing. He's already working, but he needs some hands and feet and some legs in which to work it out with. And you're the man or the woman. You're the son of God to do it. That's what God's saying. So we need to see. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way, in his turn. And I had this picture. This picture of God in heaven. Nick, just stand up a minute. If you just stand on the chair. Yeah. Just face everybody. Balance, that's it. Now stretch out your right hand. Yeah. It does a pirouette on the chair. Just imagine, God is in heaven with his outstretched hand and he goes to heal somebody. Just go and heal someone. No, just reach out to heal someone as if you're about to heal someone. But listen, he is actually in heaven. So what does he need?
Us.
So what he needs somebody who can see what he's about to do. And what actually happens is someone like Penny on the earth prays and she sees God healing Anne. So he reaches out her hand, touches her and heals her in the name of Jesus. The Father, this is the Father's work, God's work, and she gets involved in his divine work. This is how it works. This is how it works. Thanks, Nick. Right? Thank you. Let's read verse 20. The Father dearly loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does. And he will disclose to him, let him see greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. So Jesus was constantly dependent on seeing what the Father was about to do. That's why we're supposed to spend time in prayer, not listening to God and seeing what it is he's about to do. So we have a church here in Crawley. I want to see what it is that God wants to do in Crawley, don't you? I want to see it in other places too. But we need to have eyes to see what it is that God wants to do where you live. If you live in another place, you want to see what God wants to do, see what he sees, so that you can begin to exercise faith and be part of the answer and work under his hand. Verse 21, just as the Father raised up the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whoever he wills and is pleased to give it. So God wants us as sons to give away his life to others. You know, when we baptized Sandra and Stella in this swimming pool, it's like the Spirit of God came. Even before we got in, I just, whew. When I went to visit them, just to make sure that this was all kosher, you know, they weren't some strange ladies that were just trying to do. When I went to see them, we went through the scriptures about what it really meant to be baptized. The Spirit of God was so present there. And God just reminded me, he said, you're doing my divine work. And when we baptized him in that water, the presence of God was so strong in that pool. It was just six of us, seven of us there. But that's all that needed to be there in that moment, just obeying what God was saying. So entering into God's divine work, that's what you've been called. That's what we've been called to do. And we've been called to give his life away to others. If you know that Jesus is living in you, his Spirit is in you, then you can give his life away to others, so that they also can come to find him to be their Saviour and Lord too. And then let's go to verse 30. I'm able to do nothing from myself of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, just say hear. Hear. Just say hear. So we need to see and we need to hear what God the Father is saying. We need to hear what he is saying. And the Bible says that if we're his, he says, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep, just like a shepherd, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And so it means that we can hear his voice. If we listen to God, we read the Bible, we spend time in prayer, we will hear his voice. He will speak to us. And Jesus said, even as I hear, I judge, I decide. As the voice comes to me, So I give a decision, and my judgment is right, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to me, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father who sent me. So God has sent us to do his will, hasn't he? Do you wake up in the morning thinking, God, the reason I'm alive today is to do your will?
Yeah.
Is that how you wake up? Because that's how God wants you to wake up in the morning. I'm in love with God. I'm in love with all that Jesus is doing in my life. I love God. And I live to do his will. That's the only reason to live, is to live for him and to live to do his will. And this is our desire. And so the reason we're here this morning is to do his work his way, working with him. And the Holy Spirit wants to show us so that we see what God is about to do, what God is doing, and we hear what he is saying. If you get those two things from God, you can do his work, can't you? And God's called us to do an incredible work. He's called the church to do an amazing work in our nation right now. Over this next 5 years or so, there's an incredible amount of work that God wants to be won in our nation through the church. And it'll happen as the church rises up and lives as the sons of God that we've been called to, by seeing what he is seeing and hearing what he is saying and being part of the answer. Let's just go back to verse 24 just for a minute. Just something I want to pull out here. Jesus said, I assure you, I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words, who listens to my message and believes and trusts in and clings to and relies on him who sent me, possesses now eternal life. In other words, if we believe in Jesus and what he's saying to us today, we have eternal life. He does not come into judgment, will not come under condemnation, but he's already passed over out of death into life. You've probably got the shorter version up there. Most certainly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, Jesus said, has everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. God wants you to pass from death, from living without God, to living with him, and then living by doing his will. Just come across with me to John's Gospel, chapter 8, please. John 8, we're just going to read a couple of verses there. Verse 28, John 8, verse 28. So we're sent sons. We're sons who are sent to do a divine work, all of us. Incredible things that God wants to do. You know, when God poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, you do realize that when the church got persecuted, they scattered. But it was like trying to put out a fire. When the fire was tried to put out, what happened is God sent all these on-fire Christians and they went for miles and miles and miles. They went to a whole region and beyond. And what happened is these Christians started to tell others about Jesus. They started to preach the gospel. And that's actually how the early church got started beyond Jerusalem. It wasn't through great men of God, you know, who were well known as apostles or prophets. It wasn't them that started it. It was the fire that was working in the church, that was working in ordinary Christian believers that were full of God's fire, who were ready to do his divine work. And so wherever they went, Christians began to meet together. People started getting saved. Miracles started to happen. People started getting healed. And of course, the leaders and the apostles and the prophets, the gifted ministry started to go to help to build what God was already doing. Does that make sense? And we've been called to do the same thing. We've been called to really go out there and see people being saved, see people get healed, see God's divine works, enter into his divine work even today. And John's Gospel 8, verse 28 says this. So Jesus added, when you've lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you'll realize that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself on my own accord or on my own authority, but I say exactly what my Father has taught me. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus only spoke the words that God gave him. That meant sometimes he said nothing. Other times he spoke, and he spoke just the words that God gave him to speak. That's how God wants us to live. That's how he wants us to be so in tune with God that we speak his words to people, words of life. And he says, and he who sent me is ever with me. My Father's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. So it's saying here that God has sent us and he's with us. He's with you, Adrian, this morning. He's with you, Anne, today. He's with you, Nick. He's with you, Gabriella. He's with each one of us today to do his divine work. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak his words. He wants to show us what he wants to do. And then just go to verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you live in my word, that's why we need to read lots of the Bible, get the truth into you. If you live in the truth of what's in here, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and knowing the truth will set you free. You see, this is all about freedom. It's about God seeing us as free men and women of God and carrying that freedom so that others can be set free as well. That's what this is all about. It's about Jesus went about setting people free. That's why he came. He forgave them their sins, their addictions. He broke the curses over their life and he set them free. And we've been called, as he sets us free, we've been called to go and do the same thing that he did, haven't we? That's our call. And I'm going to finish this morning in Isaiah. So if you'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 11, you can really, if you're making notes, make a note of these scriptures. They're really, really important scriptures. Isaiah 11, I'm going to finish on this. It says here in verse 1. This is a prophecy. It was written about maybe 800 years before Jesus came, but it was written about, it was a prophecy about Jesus. It says, there will come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse. That was King David's father. There will come a shoot. It's talking about his David's descendants. And a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. And this branch, with a capital B, is a prophecy about Jesus. And listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might and power. The Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. This is the Spirit that God wants us to be living in and living under, to do his divine work. And shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight, his joy, shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. That fear of the Lord is talking about having a holy awe, like when we were baptized the other day. Oh, God is here. When I laid hands on that man, oh, God is here. It's this holy fear, awe, a holy awe of God. And it says that he will not judge by just what he sees with his natural eyes, or decide by the hearing of his natural ears, but with righteousness and justice he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor, and the downtrodden of the earth. God wants us to, he's reminding us today that we've been called to do a divine work. And I just want us, just as we finish this morning, just to have a brief time just to worship the Lord. But in this time of response, just offer yourself back to God this morning and say, God, I want to serve you in your divine work. I want to work under the Father's hand. I want to do the divine work you've called me to, not to do it in my own ability or my own strength, but I want to do this according to your power, Lord, that you give to me. And I want your Spirit, this Spirit of wisdom, this Spirit of understanding, to be upon me. And so let's just dedicate ourselves to God to do his divine work today. And you see what will happen as we give ourselves to God this morning. And ask the Holy Spirit to come and say, Lord, I want to do your divine work by the power of the Spirit. You see what God opens up for you this week. Ask him to speak to you. Listen to his voice. Hear what he has to say. See what he sees. Ask him to show you things this week about what he wants to do. And say, God, I'm gonna go with this. In my workplace, in my community where I live, in the church, wherever you send me this week, God, I'm going to do your divine work. We are sons who are sent. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just open our hearts. Let's lift our hands to him, shall we? If you feel free to do that. If you want to just lift your hands this morning to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Right now, Father, I just pray that the Spirit of the Lord that is here in this place will come down right now. Rest upon each person in this building here today, Lord. May the Holy Spirit of wisdom and understanding come upon you right now. Cause you to see what he sees. I command ears to be open today. I command ears that are blocked for a different reason to be unblocked today, that men and women in this place, young people in this place, will hear the voice of God, will see the things that you are doing, Lord, and actually step into and start doing the same things, to see, if, as it were, in the invisible, what you are doing, and to make those things visible here on the earth. Father, I pray that today the spirit of counsel and might rest upon you, the spirit of knowledge and of reverential fear of God. May the Lord give you quick understanding. May his delight be in you. May you know the fear of the Lord. That you will judge not according to your natural eyes or even what you hear with your natural ears, but you will judge by what God shows you. You will see, you'll make decisions based on what he shows you. Just invite the Holy Spirit to come afresh today. Just submit unto God's hand, the Father's hand. We have a great Father in heaven, and he's sent his Spirit to come and live in us, to enable us to live and to do those things that I've spoken about this morning. So we become a church doing his good works, doing his divine works. And we have stories every week of what God is doing, seeing his kingdom come and his will being done. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's worship him. Let's give ourselves afresh to him today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Spirit.
Drums when they gave their life to Jesus. And part of Paul's testimony was he didn't believe in God. He wasn't interested in any of that. But as we began to explain who Jesus was and what he'd done, we entered into a divine work. We invited them round to a house and we started to meet week by week. I remember God saying to me, he's ready. He's ready. About the fourth week. And that night when I went round to his house, it was that night that God did something quite amazing for Paul. And he saw that, similar to what I had when I became a Christian, he saw that Jesus died on the cross for him as a reality. Isn't that right? And his life has changed. I mean, he's just a different fella than when he walked in here over a year ago. And so is Ingrid too. The Spirit of God changed us. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, the best thing to do is just say, God, I just want to know you. Jesus, I just want you to be real. Come into my life. Just start reaching out to him. Let him come. You can do that. You can let him come. He says, believe in me. I died on the cross for your sin, for your need. Ask me to forgive you and then invite me to come in. And his Spirit comes. So that's for anyone that isn't here, hasn't yet given your life. The rest of us this morning, what I believe we need to do is we need to pray for one another. The rest of us, we need to pray for one another. And there's a prophetic spirit here today. What I mean by that is, as you pray for somebody this morning, God's going to start releasing his word. I don't need to do that for everybody. What will happen is you start to pray with someone, you don't have to make it happen. God will give you words to pray, maybe the person near you or next to you. But just start praying for the person near you or next to you or behind you. Just start praying for them. And just ask that the Holy Spirit start releasing his divine work into that person's life. Okay? And just listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Start praying a blessing over them this morning. Let's do that right now. Just start praying for people near you, next to you, behind you, in front of you. Just reach out to them and start praying for them. That they'll enter into God's divine work. That this week, even today, you'll begin to see things. God will show you things about what he wants to do. You'll hear him speak. You'll hear his word for other people too this week. It's his divine work that he's doing. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray just for these next couple of minutes. And then we're going to finish the meeting. Just pray. Just pray. Just release what God is saying this morning. Thank you, Father. God is great. God is awesome. Powerful. Awesome God. Awesome Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And carols again. Carols again. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fly with your blessing. To be yours.
Let's just lift our hands, shall we? Father, as we dedicate our lives afresh to you today, thank you we're going to have more understanding today what it means to enter into your divine work. We are people, sons who have been sent. You've sent us to do your work. It's not a natural work, it's a supernatural work. So, Father, I pray, I prophesy, this, even today and this week, we will speak your words. We will do your deeds, Lord. Father, we will heal the sick and set people free this week, Lord. Make us very bold, Father, we pray, as we invite your Holy Spirit to come. Lord, we can do nothing of ourselves. It's only what you enable us to do. So teach us how to work with you this week. Teach us how to walk with you this week, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's just give God thanks and praise, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If any of you need prayer this morning, particularly any who are sick, if you need prayer, please come forward. We'll pray for you. If you need prayer for any sickness, we'd love to pray for you just in the next few minutes. Tea and coffee in the hub. Have time together out there. And have a good rest of the day and a blessed week. See you Wednesday evening at Broadfield Community Centre for our prayer. Bless you all.
Cause I